Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The regular Thank you. Of the greatest issues of the contemporary world. I would like also here Thank you. producing everything that happens to us, is a goal full of things. So my answer is yes. I think the last panel that was about our flesh to release possibilities, like many communities in my own country, can formulate economic policies and execute them and investment strategies and so on that will almost, not completely of course, but almost isolate that region from fluctuations in the financial sector of the respective countries.
From a brief visit to Iceland, I gained a very clear impression that your balance between natural resource development, which obviously this audience would agree with your conclusions in that regard, and environmental protection is much more acute and much more carefully done than we are seeing in the recent year in Iceland. Not because we are causing damage to the environment, but because we are not developing the natural resources. How do you keep that balance? And what are your lessons that we've
been learning? Well, it has not been easy. I mean, it has been a very hot political issue in my country over the years, or even over decades. We have, for example, now in my country a wide-ranging hot debate about the future of the fishing sector and how it should be constructed and the quota system and so on. So when we moved 20 years ago over to quotas and transferable quotas in order to make our fishing sector more sustainable on one hand and more profitable on the other, this has been often debated in my country, the method, for a long time. And it hasn't always ended, because as I said before, although the Western church might produce good politicians, they also produce a very argumentative fishermen. So, but we have had the political strength to go through that debate in a very open and inclusive way, where everybody can have their say, but we also reach the decision. We can change that system of the right, but it is an inclusive political dialogue. Similarly, with respect to energy and nature, we have also had, especially in the last 10 years, a very hot debate in our country about the balance between hydro projects and geothermal projects and the landscape and the nature and the environment and the earth. And when the big hydro plant was being built in the Eastern Fjords to serve the Alcoa aluminum smelter, there was not only protesters from Iceland, there were protesters from other parts of the world. And they just often debated. We had even demonstrations in the street led by my predecessor, by the way, creating those examples that when I leave office, I can start participating in demonstrations effectively. So, what the issue that he decided to be in front of the demonstration, not to walk down the old main street America and to protest against this anti power plant. In the East. But again, we have tried to have a wide-ranging political dialogue to change the laws and the attitude and so on. It is moving now more towards the environment than the utilization of the energy resources. But there is a general acceptance that Iceland will not have an economic future unless we utilize our natural resources. The question is how, and the question is to do it in a way that they are sustainable, that they are preserved. And in that way, the fishing sector is a good example, because whereas overfishing has been a negative aspect of almost every European country in the fishing sector and many other parts of the world, we have managed in the last 30 years how to change the system to sustain the fish stocks by a lot. And also make the fishing sector very profitable. That's why we think our fishing policy is much better than the current European Union policy. So it would be better for the Union to adopt our policy than for them to ask us to adopt their policy. In terms of the CR success, from an academic point of view. And therefore, I think here in Alaska, although I don't know the details, you have this extraordinary potential. I mean, extraordinary potential here in Alaska. but you have to open the debate as much as you can and to include everybody, the indigenous people, the ordinary people, the local representatives as well as the others. And then, of course, come forward as a united Alaska vis-à-vis the rest of the United States. I said this morning at the conference I came to attend on the future of the Arctic, that the reason why the United States is at all as a people in deciding the future of the Arctic and the North is because of Alaska. The U.S. wouldn't have a seat at this very important table in terms of energy and logistics, shipping routes and everything else, if it wasn't for Alaska. And because of the Arctic and the North has now become the new global frontier in terms of the global economy, this means that the influence and the power of Alaska within the United States will be enormous if you are able to execute the use of the North in the right way. Why is China so interested in Alaska? Why have I had almost every year for the last 5 or 6 years meeting with the President of China or the Prime Minister of China in Japan? As I said this morning, it's not because I'm a recently good talker, but it's because my fellow, my Chinese fellow. But it's because of China's interest in the North and the Arctic region. China has already in the last few years had 4 Arctic expeditions. 4 Arctic expeditions, ships and icebreakers and everything. And the reason is that the opening up of the Northern Sea, when China has become the primary trade country in the world, was shortened by 40% the distance between America and China and Europe, and Taiwan, you can also do it here in your neighborhood here. And if the U.S. wants to be a global player in the 21st century economy, not just in the beginning of the 21st century economy, but throughout the 21st century economy, it has to be at the table where Russia, Canada, and the 5 Nordic countries create the regulatory framework, the system of harbors and hubs and all this that will serve this enormous transformation of global trade and commerce and the global economy, similar to what the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal did in its time. And if it wasn't for Alaska, the U.S. would be something like Germany or France or Uganda or Nigeria or whatever. I mean, simply not at the table. So you have now, for the first time in the history of this state and the history of the U.S., an extraordinary opportunity to combine your future with the role of the United States in the new frontier of the global economy. And I hope you use it wisely. I hope you have the political and the democratic strength to come together. And one of my messages this morning was that what we need in all the Arctic countries, all the Northern countries, myself, my country, your, in Alaska, and others, we need to create an ongoing dialogue between us on these issues. Dialogue that includes the ordinary people, scientists, experts, mayors, local councillors, governors, national politicians, anybody who wants to join. Almost like the village square, where everybody can enter who has anything to say. And it's not enough to have an occasional conference in the last office taking place now or another in Iceland in September or the one in Finland that I attended 2 weeks ago. We need an ongoing process where you in Alaska, we in Iceland, and those in Finland and the other parts of the Arctic countries create what I call the kind of threefold ongoing dialogues, with perhaps Alaska, Iceland, and Finland as the predominant meeting places. So we can, in a comprehensive democratic way, formulate the future of the Arctic and North on the basis of the lessons of the financial crisis, a long-term economic view that I try to illustrate here today. And I said, when I was asked this morning what is the single most important issue that you think for the Arctic and the North, my answer was not the energy or the steel fields and so on, but the need to create this active political now can decide their future together. And I point out to you, and let me conclude by that, that we talk about the Arctic and the North. We don't talk about Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Greenland, US, Russia, and so on. We talk about it as a single entity, the Arctic and the North, across national boundaries. We always talk about the Arctic and the North as if they were not national boundaries. Truly, that's absolutely correct to do so. But we need to create a democratic political community in the Arctic and the North that can also come together across the Arctic to create a successful future. That is one of the reasons why I keep coming to Alaska, why I have come here today, is to emphasize and offer my support for making this new kind of community in the North and the Arctic the most important source for policy making decisions and economic future in our part of the world. Thank you.
I know it was a tip too. And on behalf of all the folks, we also would like to give you something for your travels. So remember us by a mug. And I am traveling tomorrow. I'm so excited now to Iceland and Norway. And when I'm not in the Blue Lagoon, I hope you're walking around. So if I can find you, I think it's going to be raining according to the forecast. There's a roll of first castle umbrella, so if you hold this proudly, I will find you next week. Thank you for coming. Our next program is on Saturday. Please check our website and don't forget to RSVP.